As you know, these are trying times. These are the last of the last days as we see the scriptures begin to unfold on a daily basis. And life is actually conforming itself to what the Bible said eons ago. The world is becoming a reflection of what the Bible already prophesied down through the centuries. And it's lining up just like the Bible foretold it. So it's time for us to align with what the Bible said to prepare for it. If the world at large is changing to reflect what the Bible already told us, it's behooved of us to change also to be ready for what's about to happen. You can't keep doing the same old thing because it's a new day and things are happening rapidly. All right, before we get going here, we're going to look at some announcements we got here first of all, then we'll get into the teaching for today. First of all, remember, the organic gospel is now available on our website, www.theorganicgospel.net. Theorganicgospel.net. You can purchase the book there if you want a hard copy of the book. Here it is right here. Just 129 pages, really reading, but 132 pages in the book. But I think it's like 129 pages if you read it. But the organic gospel is a good discourse on what the Bible is all about and the actual purpose of the Bible and the Word of God as it plants in you in seed form the very nature of God. And then we go through a process of letting that nature expand its borders and change us into the replication or image of God. Everything about the gospel centrally focuses on the fact that Adam and Eve lost the image of God. And Jesus Christ came back to restore the image of God. Jesus said, I brought back that which I took not away. What did he bring back? He brought back the image of God to the human soul that we could be reflective of God and become his children again and just shred off this snake skin of rebellion to allow God to live. This is so easy to understand. It's almost ridiculous. All the religious gymnastics we look at on a daily basis that has nothing to do with the process of transformation. But the organic gospel is about the fact that the Bible and the Word of God is sown in your spirit and in your soul and in your heart in seed form. And then everything you do from that point on, after you come and confess Christ, is about having those parameters expand in you until you are finally remade into the image of God. It's about an organic replication, duplication of God's nature in us as we are transformed by ingesting the word, watering that word, fertilizing that word, setting up parameters within the confines of our souls that allows that word to expand. We come in as worldly people, and all God does is he leads us through a wilderness experience, exposing our souls to us that we might divest ourselves of the things that limit his expansion. If that's the journey you're on, this makes perfect sense. A lot of people get caught up in past tense believing. In other words, they read the Bible and then they append the words in the Bible to themselves as if they've already reached that point. You know, I'm blessed. I'm abundantly blessed. I'm living the good life. I'm living the life of prosperity. They start making confessions and professions about themselves that are not real because they have not achieved that level of progression. So then they get caught up in pride, looking down on people as if I've already arrived and you haven't arrived where I am. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to use yourself then as the parameter to dictate to other people whether or not they're saved. Pride will have you become legalistic. You'll become a Pharisee. And based on what you have already processed through mental ascension about yourself, you'll believe you've reached some destination in God that other people haven't. And then you talk down to them about how they need to come up to your level as if you are God. And now you become the litmus test for salvation. And nobody that measures up, if anybody does anything contrary to what you believe, they're not saved. That's the very essence of self-righteousness. To mentally ascend to the truths of the Bible, having not reached there, Then you proclaim to other people they need to be like you and conform to your image to be saved. It's a delusion, a complete delusion and perversion of the scripture. The real gospel has the nature of Jesus Christ imparted to you, and then the processes you go through are nothing but the feeding on whatever parameters God gives you to feed on to expand the borders to allow Christ's nature to be formed in you. The apostle said it this way in Galatians. He says, look, what I'm doing, I'm travailing, I'm laboring with you in birth pains until Christ be formed in you. It's all about the formation of Christ in you. It's not about personalities of other people. It's not about church membership. It's not about denominational boundaries. It's not about trying to belong, fit in, touch not, taste not, handle not. It's not about Sabbath days. It's not about tithing. It's about none of that stuff. Everything in the Bible is focusing on Christ being formed in you, and then the Holy Ghost filling the image of Christ in you, and then being led by the Holy Ghost to do the will of God. This is so easy. How could anybody mess this up? But guess what? The carnal mind perverts it, skews it, defiles it, twists it, makes it just a mockery until you can hardly even be saved now because of so many variables that people put in front of you that you have to do. It'll drive you nuts trying to live up or down to the standards of other people. You got to let God form Christ in you and be led by the Spirit of God for you to achieve the purposes of God. Simply follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost to be made over to the image of Christ and live freely. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Organic Gospel, available on www.organicgospel.net. The Organic Gospel, that's one phrase, theorganicgospel.net. Or you can find it on any ebook location, Kindle, Amazon.com, Nook. You know, you can look around. You can just Google it. It'll come up, The Organic Gospel. If you want to buy it by ebook. The hard copy is a good study resource. It's got all the scriptures in it that you can highlight, underline, take notes on, get yourself a tablet and study it. Study it. Because it's not just a lot of babbling from a man's mind or a woman's mind. It's a scriptural study that's all about the scriptures. It's passages of the Bible in this book for you to actually go back and study what's being told to you to see if it's true or not. You got to be like a Berean. You've got to study to see if you're being told the truth. So make sure you study to show yourself approved. Get a copy of The Organic Gospel, www.theorganicgospel.net. All right, secondarily, remember prayer every night, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That phone number is 1-805-399-1000. 1-805-399-1000 for nightly prayer, Monday through Saturday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I say that, and without fail, somebody calls in on Sunday night. Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1-805-399-1000. The access code is 409-367. 409-367, access code. 1-805-399-1000, access code 409-367 for prayer every night, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Little ginger beer here. That's what they're going to serve at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Ginger beer. All right. Lastly, Dunamis Tabernacle. What is Dunamis Tabernacle? We've been talking about Dunamis Tabernacle for 3 or 4 years now. Dunamis Tabernacle is designed to be a Christian base camp for people who are planning to conduct a spiritual war. It's not for people just wanting to go to church. sit around in theater style seating and listen to sermons all day. It's about a place to be equipped, a base camp, to establish yourself in the Word, know the Word of God, and become a teacher that is very astute in the Scripture to be able to actually explain the Word of God, knowing what you believe. We have too many Christians running around trying to tell people things that are not doctrinally sound and just confusing everybody with a bunch of empty babbling that they were told by somebody else. Having never studied the Bible, they just regurgitate things that somebody told them, and for the most part, most of it is a delusion. See, the character of Christ has to be formed in you so that when you say something, it's not just a reinterpretation or reciting of what you heard. It's what you are. You've been formed so you bear the image of Christ, and the Holy Ghost can speak through you now with a sound, biblically based presentation of the Bible that anybody can understand. The Bible says the apostles used great plainness of speech. It wasn't something that you had to strain to understand. The most uneducated person could understand it, while the most academically astute person could understand it. It's a plain speech that anybody can understand. A lot of folks go away to seminary and get a lot of seminary babble ingrained in their souls, and now they come back with seminary babble, and it just confuses people. You've got to let God take you through this excursion in your own soul to cleanse your soul so that the gospel can flow through your soul without any misinterpretations or misunderstandings or any kind of a presentation that came from a person's mind. So you have to sit down and let God form you up to be a vessel of honor that he can use. Too many young people right now coming out of the hip-hop generation are jumping right into church and trying to minister to people. You got to sit down and let Christ forge you into another kind of a vessel. It's no such thing as a good idea in God. God transmits his will through a vessel that has been forged into his image, that God can operate through that vessel. I'm going to show you today in today's lesson how so many people think a good idea is of God. And we got results because somebody came to the Lord. I'm going to show you how they didn't come to the Lord. They came to your interpretation of the Lord, and they never even got saved. You just thought they did because you like what you did, but God had nothing to do with it. It's a trick of the devil. So Dunamis Tabernacle is designed to expose people to all the teachers who have been around over the years that have preached sound doctrine. David Paulson, Derek Prince, B.H. Clendenin, R.D. Hinton, Chicago, all these different teachers, all these different preachers who have taught people, David Wilkerson, sound doctrinal people who have taught people about salvation, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, demonology, sanctification, all the parameters of spiritual warfare. You've got to be a well-rounded person to understand this thing and to go forth and present the gospel in a logical, well-thought-out, intellectual format so another person can understand what you're saying. We don't fight as one that beats against the wind, the Bible says. So Dunamis Tabernacle is designed to be a basic training boot camp. Train people up and get them prepared to go. What is the very essence or foundation of somewhere like Dunamis Tabernacle? Very simply, atmosphere determines the presence of a life. In other words, every life is sustained and it grows in the right atmosphere. A fish out of the water cannot be sustained because outside of that water, he is not able to live in an oxygenated realm where there's air because he does not operate outside of water. So atmospheric conditions determine what life is sustained in that particular environment. You get the atmosphere conducive to God, and God will come and he'll dwell there. So if you bathe an atmosphere in proclamation, praise and worship, preaching, teaching, you bathe it in prayer and fasting, and you sanctify and consecrate the atmosphere unto God, God will come, because that atmosphere will be conducive to his life being welcome there, his presence being welcome there. So you set up basically a dome that represents God's presence, because you've made the atmosphere right for God to indwell it. How do you do that? The individual vessels must be sanctified. See, the people are the instruments of service to God in the New Testament tabernacle. It's not about brick and mortar. Folks hear a building and they go crazy, like, see, there we go, worshiping another building again. See, the whole process I'm describing has nothing to do with a $65 million jet, a Bentley, and all the junk you see out there in stupid religion. We're talking about forging vessels. We're talking about living stones not cut out with hands, people being made to carry a message to the world. And therein lies the problem with most people that hear this. They are really not ready to be forged into a vessel to go and do it themselves. They're still looking for a church membership, and they're still looking to follow Moses. You got to get a person that's ready to step into the forefront and be used by God themselves. So therefore, that means a remnant of people will have to be forged. If you're listening to this by way of live stream right now, don't take the time to try to criticize what I'm saying, because I'm not even talking to you. If you criticize it, I'm not talking to you, because you're not a vessel that's designed to do this. I'm not soliciting support from those people who don't see it and don't want to be involved. I'm talking to those of you that can see it, that can get on board, and that can do it. The facilities we're looking at, $800,000 buys the whole ball of wax. That's 1,000 people with $800. 1,000 people looked at the live stream broadcast last week. 1,500 people looked at it on Sunday, a week before that. Almost 300 looked at Rashid's message from Wednesday night. 1,000 people, $800, we're up and running. We got the shell already in place. The skeleton is in place. The people are already in place, ready to go. All we need is the facility to launch from. Then it's up to God to actually formulate around that facility the necessary framework to get the job done. That is teachers, those that can administrate, those that can set in offices to get jobs done. Not about following anybody. It's about you knowing what you're called to do and going to do it. There'll be nobody sitting over you trying to tell you that we're your covering. And all that junk is garbage. You've got to pray through to a breakthrough until you know what you're called to do. And this is a format and an environment whereby you'll be productively engaged in your calling. Has nothing to do with other people. You know why? Because your gift will make room for you. If you claim to be a teacher and you can't teach, everybody sitting there will know you need to sit down, because what you're saying is nonsensical. But I'm called to be a teacher. Yeah, but what you're saying is nonsensical gibberish. You see how many people are on the internet, on YouTube, on Facebook, trying to teach people things, and it's just nonsensical gibberish, because they're not called to do what they're attempting to do. The body of Christ has built in self-checks in it. The saints won't buy into foolishness. Not the real saints. Now, people who are not saved, religious people, they'll go for anything. But the real saints, as soon as they see somebody false, you know what's going to go off in them? The Holy Ghost is going to begin to trigger in that belly, letting them know this is not of God. This is a delusion. This person is crazy. You can't come into God's environment, not the real church, as a hypocrite and somebody trying to put forth your own program and trying to look like, act like, and emulate folks and trying to mimic preaching or whatever you're doing. A lot of folks come in with that same old sing-songy preaching, thinking they're preaching to people and just stomping around preaching. I'm a preacher's man. I'm a preacher's preacher. Man, I'm preaching you to death. Man, I'm preaching to you. And everybody's sitting there thinking, I wish they'd shut up and sit down and go somewhere. It's bad when you think you're deep and everybody's thinking you're dumb. You have to be called to do the things in God. I don't care how many apostles' cards you get printed up. The apostle Paul said the gifts of an apostle accompany me. What's the apostolic calling? You have a very, very strong gift of administration. You can govern and manage the church at large. You can establish churches. You can move through environments and govern churches and build churches. It's not you sitting in a storefront somewhere calling yourself an apostle and thinking you've arrived with your brother, your cousin, and your sister-in-law sitting there. You know, your brother, your other brother wouldn't come, so your sister-in-law came because she fell for it, but your own brother said you were crazy, but you got your sister-in-law to buy into it. Now, it's three of you in a storefront, an old 7-Eleven store, and you're an apostle. Stop. Stop making a fool out of yourself. Ladies, stop calling yourself a pastor, a bishop, and an apostle. You make yourself really look silly to the real body of Christ. Religious folks will go for it hook, line, and sinker, and now they're calling me judgmental. I'm deceived. I'm in a cult. When I'm just aligning myself with the Word of God. The real church can see a counterfeit 5,000 miles away. Why don't people draw to the real church? Because they can't run game on it. Can't you see how it works? You don't get thousands flocking to the real church because everybody's exposed and you know whether or not they're authentic because the Holy Ghost will let you know. The Holy Ghost governs the church, and the vessels that are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost can see. They can see. So we want to get an environment so white hot with the Holy Ghost that it burns off the dross. It burns off the counterfeit. It disallows the devil. The devil's not going to come into the presence of manifest fire. He's not going to come into the midst of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, you'll hang around religion all day, but he can't come into the presence of God and try to counterfeit himself with that religious spirit. I heard a guy today telling a young lady, she was talking about spiritual war and dealing with demons. And he was telling her, well, I'm sanctified, I'm holy, I only think about God. And you need to get out of that cult and that delusion you're in talking about spiritual war. You think about demons and the devil. But my mind is in heavenly places. I only think about the Word of God. I only think about Jesus. I have a holy mind. And you're so stupid and ignorant. You're sanctified and holy, calling the lady stupid and ignorant because she's talking about doing what Jesus said, you shall cast out devils. Now, she's ignorantly following the dictates of Jesus Christ according to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. She's doing it. She's ignorant, and you're a holy man. You're a religious zealot trying to get people to obey and conform to you when you're in rebellion and diametrically opposed to what Jesus Christ said. And then calling people ignorant and all kinds of names because she dares to conduct a spiritual warfare against demonic entities. And that's the only thing binding the whole human race. So the demon in you, the religious demon in you, is now confronting somebody that's warring against your master, Satan, as you're cloaking under a religious banner, deceiving yourself. It's ugly, but it's true. It's ugly, but it's true. Somebody check and see if there's any apps open around the house or what, because it's called in the live stream, not the broadcast, right? Check and see if Gabriel got something open, Barbara, or something, because somebody got an app open that's saying to try to close other apps because it's breaking up the live stream. But that's what it's all about. You can check my phone, too. It's close it off if it was open. But that's what it's all about. It's about coming up to a place where Christ is formed in you individually. And Dunamis Tabernacle is designed and formatted to be an environment, an atmosphere conducive to God's presence, not bound by legalism and religious restraints that actually choke off your development and subject you to somebody over you, oppressing you like Hitler, and you never can fulfill your gift. I mean, it's almost funny to look at this if it wasn't so pitiful. 1,000 people will hear this, and if they began to contribute $100 a week, in 8 weeks, we'd have the money and up and running. Think about what I'm saying. I've been doing this. Look how long I've been doing this. And 1,000 people are looking at it, 1,500 people looking at it every week. If they just woke up, those of you who are going to listen to this, why don't you wake up, stand up, and do something? I told you about a young lady last week. She came to one conference, the first one she ever came to. She left Sunday, went back home, and on Tuesday gave $1,000. I mean, sacrificially, $1,000, saying, okay, let's just do this. Little did she know, she was one of the two or three people that would do that. See, a lot of people believe that when they see it, they figure like, okay, we're going to be an army. We on one accord. 100 people came to the conference. So they figure, everybody going to get ready to buy into this. We get ready to go. And she's standing there by herself with all these men around looking, and she steps out ready to go. And it's beginning to frustrate a lot of women, because a lot of women are ready to go, and the guys sitting there just shaking in their boots. It's amazing to watch it. If I harp on it, see, you're just trying to get money, you're just trying to build another kingdom. Listen, I tell you what you do. You go back into the archives of the messages on Omega Ministries website, www.omegaministries.org. Go back into the archives and check out the archives. Any kind of a circular evaluation of the archives will tell you from 2004 and back in 2000 we began to preach these messages. There is no way we have a long-term survival in this, because the first ones they're coming after will be us. So we can't be building some kind of a mega mess for the future to reign over the masses, because this is a real spiritual war, engaging real enemies, dealing with real parameters that are spiritual, fighting against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. It's real. We're fighting real entities. So we know that we're going to engage forces for real. So you got to understand now, there's no way we could be the same thing as Joel Osteen or Creflo Dollar or the rest of them, trying to teach you about prosperity here and now, because our focus is not on the here and now. This is a prepared message for prepared people, and heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We have a very, very focused mission. That is to forge out of the people vessels that Jesus can flow through, reach out through those people, save as many as we can off of the Titanic, load the rescue vessels, sail away from the Titanic, and let the Titanic sink. We're not here to save the world. We're here to end the world. And then again, the fear pulsates through the atmosphere. End the world? See how the Christian, claim to be a Christian, can't even process the end of the world. So bound to the world, they can't process the end of it. While we're looking at an end right in front of us in real time, and unable to process, it's over. It's over. Well, you know, people have been saying that for centuries. You didn't have this over the centuries, what we got now. It's different this time, and people instinctively know it. So they get more afraid. And they become, when you get afraid, what's the first thing that happens to you? You become petrified. You stand still. You ever seen a deer in headlights? That deer is going to get hit. Why? Because that deer froze. In headlights, it froze. And you're seeing a car coming at the deer 80 miles per hour, and the deer just standing there looking at it. And you're thinking, why won't the deer run? Because it's so afraid, it became petrified. That's what's happening to people who claim to be Christians. They're actually petrified. They're so afraid. They see it coming upon the earth. Now, they see the judgment is here, but they're so afraid they do nothing. And they hope it's going to work out some kind of a way. It won't. You've got to do something. And the thing to do is to war against God's adversaries. To war, to fight. That's what the devil fears most. He wants to cut the warlike tendencies out of a person so they won't fight. Yeah. The message we preach all by itself should call up 10,000 men without even trying hard. Mm-hmm. 10,000 men with $80 in Dunamis Tabernacle is up and running. Think about what I'm saying. This is a worldwide message. It goes around the world every week. We get messages and contacts from London, from France, from Germany, from the Middle East, from South Africa, Australia. They all hear it, and the people are petrified. But if I was a religious guy preaching religious garbage, they'd be all right. They'd be settled down because I'd be talking about prosperity here, how to have your best life now, how to have a good marriage, how to believe God for your mate. See, all that stuff right there is garbage. Anything pertaining to the here and now is garbage. Set your affections on things above, not the earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the goal of the gospel is never about the here and now. It's to project you away from here toward heaven. And the things and circumstances in life will take care of themselves. You don't have to preach that. You don't have to preach stuff. Because what God has for you, the Bible says he's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Ephesians. So why would you centrally focus on that which has already been given? What we need is to be changing the vessels that can do what? Receive it. The problem is not the blessing. The problem is the ability to receive it. What I'm saying is absolutely right. Now you think you're a know-it-all. No, I'm just telling you what I'm saying is right. It's the vessel. Purge the vessel. Prepare the vessel. Make it a vessel fit for the master to use. Don't you know that you take care of your car? Why? Because your car's got to get you where you got to go. You change the oil in it. You buy new tires for it. You even get it washed, and you keep the inside clean, I hope. Hope you don't have a bunch of junk all in your car that you can't hardly get in for the junk. But you take care of the maintenance. You take care of the vessel that carries you. God takes care of the vessel that carries him. It makes perfect sense. You'd have to try to mess this up. Dunamis Tabernacle is the garage that's going to perform the maintenance on the vehicles to make them suitable to carry God. It's not the same old church thing. It's not theater style seating where you sit there and just try to do what somebody says. You try to fit in. You try to be a part of. You try to measure up to. It's none of that. It's about making you a vessel fit for the master to use. All right, we got perfect streaming now, so I guess something got cut off somewhere. Did somebody have something on? Now it's bouncing around again, but it hit perfect streaming, so it's coming through better now. All right. Dunamis Tabernacle. I'm harping on it. I'm harping on it for a reason. It's too many of you on the sidelines listening. Get up when you hear this. If you listen to it later in the week on MP3, as soon as you get through listening to it, get up. Give to Dunamis Tabernacle at www.omegaministries.org. Hit support, then donate. I outlined what we're going to do and why we're doing what we're doing. This is not about another church. The last thing we need is another silly church. It's a church every two blocks. If church was the answer, the deal should have been done centuries ago, years ago. If building another church was the answer, we should all be raptured out of here living in Beulah land by now. A church can't be the answer. We're not looking for another stinking church. I'm serious. I don't even want to go to church because church is not the answer. What we need now are vessels to be the church, We got to use brick and mortar to get them where they need to go, because, it's easier to teach 1,000 people sitting in front of you than it is to teach 2 people. You need the interaction between the people to forge them. The Bible says just like iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. When you rub together against people in fellowship, it'll get a lot of stuff off of you. See, that's one of the ways that God uses to clean you and wash you. You put your clothes in the washing machine. You know what cleanses your clothes? Agitation. What does agitation do? It rubs the clothes against each other. You actually scrubbing cloth against cloth to wash off dirt when it's agitating in the machine. So God puts everybody in a washing machine, and then you rub against each other, and man, it just be like, they're getting on my last nerve. I mean, why am I around these people? These people are crazy. Here they come again. Here they come. What you going to say now? See, all this, until you do what? You die to them. Till they don't bother you anymore. Then you can just walk around in fellowship and everybody's all right with you. But why? Because nothing from the outside affects you. That's what agitation does. It washes off the elements within you that are responding to your environment. That's the defile. And Jesus said it verbatim. There is nothing from the outside of a man that can defile a man. Every defiling element comes from the inside, not the outside. This is 100 million light years removed from church and what it teaches you. Most people go to church, find out what the parameters are for membership here. They conform to the environmental parameters and then begin to do what they're told to do by that particular organization. And they've missed God by a billion years. What I'm saying is so far into the nominal religious mind that it seems like I'm just crazy and this has nothing to do with God, because they've already made God over in their own minds, denominationalized God, where God is a member of our denomination. What is God? He's a Baptist. He's a Methodist. He's a Presbyterian. He's a Episcopalian. He's a Roman Catholic. God conformed to our denomination. No, he didn't. God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. God encompasses everything. We got to get our minds expanded to actually understand God. God is not a particular race. God is not a particular culture. God is so much more than what we can imagine that it takes a radical intervention in our minds to make us understand just who we're dealing with. And only the cleansing and washing and regeneration of his word can make us fit for him to actually know us, walk in us, live in us, and then move through us to reach other people. Dunamis Tabernacle, it's not about church, it's about an atmosphere. I got to stress this, an atmosphere that is conducive to God's presence. The presence will do the work all by itself. You make a habitat for God and God will work. He'll change folks all by himself. If they get inside of that environment, the flesh will die. Demons will be driven off. The mind will be renewed. Everything in their hearts and souls will be radically transformed. All they have to do is stay under the water and the process. It's not performance. It's the process. Don't perform. Stay in the process. You know how many people have come to Omega Ministries over the years and have joined listening to these broadcasts or come to a conference and been offended by it? You know why? Because they're not used to a process. They're used to performance. They've already got in their minds how it ought to be. And when they don't see the energy to have it be like they think it should be, they get offended. We're not looking for performance. We're looking for people willing to go through the process. When you're in a process, it's like going to college. No matter how many students are in this, you go to a classroom in Auburn, a University of Georgia, or one of these big universities, you may have 300 people in your class. Guess what? Nobody's thinking about you. Because they're going through a process. And I have to go through the process to earn my grade for me to graduate. So you're not conscious of what everybody else is doing. See how people are used to being conformed to a group and knowing what it takes to fit into the group. That conformity is what binds people. That's what has your child in the street trying to be a hip-hop thug life gangster guy. Because he found out what Jay-Z said is right for everybody. They conform to the image that Jay-Z presented, and now everybody's trying to be a thug life gangster together to live up to the dictates of Jay-Z. Rugged individualism is a lost thing on this planet. Because God has tailor-made a program just for you based on what he called you to do. So nobody can really know. This is impossible for me to teach you into what you're called to do because I don't know what you're called to do. The best I can do is run water over you, the washing of the water by the word, so you get cleared enough and cleaned enough to hear from God to fulfill what you're called to do. If you're supposed to move to Australia to do it, it's none of my business. People come to me, Pastor Price, I'm moving. What? Well, I know, you know, I've been a foundation of the ministry, and I know you're going to miss me. Not really. Not really. No. See, people have this grandiose delusion about themselves, like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to show you that, again, this message today, how this grandiose delusion of self has got people going crazy. I'm taking a lot of time with this on purpose because we need to put a base camp on the ground. We got to have boots on the ground now. Cyberspace and the internet won't get the job done. You got to have vessels, boots on the ground, engaging the devil. Because the devil's walking around now in a pair of shorts, booty shorts, and a halter top. He's walking around tatted up with a sombrero on, looking crazy, downtown yelling, and out of his mind. This is the day of the gathering demoniac. You need boots on the ground. You need confrontation on the ground. We sit in these sanitized churches, separated from everything, talking about the Lord, and scared to death of the devil as he just parades around destroying everything in sight without confrontation. We got to forge an army, equip that army, fill that armor with the Holy Ghost, then send that army without fear into the battle. That's the devil's greatest fear, a vessel that's not afraid, a vessel that knows who they are in Christ. They're bold as a lion, the Bible says. They speak to the enemy in the gate, and they deter him away from his appointed place of trying to destroy people. You see that weapon coming toward the target? You stand there and deter that weapon away from that target because you got power. That's the devil's greatest fear. An environment, Dunamis Tabernacle, designed to forge vessels. God forges a vessel when he's about to do something. He needed a vessel, Moses. He needed a vessel, Samuel. He needed a vessel, Elijah. He needed the vessel, he forged David. He needed the vessel, he forged Esther. He needed the vessel to get Jesus here. He forged Mary. You forge a vessel in a foundry. You got to have a foundry to forge a vessel. This past week, I think it was like Wednesday, I had a dream. And I wrap it up right here, talking about Dunamis Tabernacle. In this dream, I was with this lady in a house, and she was looking at the house to buy it. She said, I don't like this house. I really don't like it. It's not what I'm looking for. She said, I want a house that's built by die-cast builders. Die-cast builders. And I'm thinking, there's no such thing as die-cast builders. What is that? So you look up die-cast. You know what it is? When you die-cast something, let's say you want to make an aluminum engine. You have to, first of all, make a mold for the engine. And you pour hot molten metal into the die cast, and it forms up the parameters of the engine, and it hardens when it cools. Then you take the mold off, and you got a die cast mold, and you then add the engine parts onto it. You die cast things when you want to make a hard metal object. You can do it with aluminum, iron, any metal, or any kind of amalgamated metal to make a die cast mold of that thing you're making. So God began to show me he's looking for a die-cast house, something that's a mold he can pour himself into. He's got to first mold us. You remember he said he had this lump of clay? he began to mold it. It was flawed, and it was skewed in his hand. So he had to get another lump of clay and begin to mold over again. He has to first of all make a cast to pour himself into, so that he can now set up in you as a vessel. If the mold is not right, it won't accommodate God. He wants a die cast home. So we got to actually purge out the old leaven, purge out the world, purge out the old mental acumens and the thought patterns. The vessel that is anti-God and anti-Christ is the vessel that thinks contrary to God. It's in the mind. See, when your mind is foreign to God, God can't come through you, because you already have predispositions in your mind that limit it. So you talk about what God can't do, or this is not the Lord, or you're judging, or this is not how the Lord is. That's what you've been taught. You can have presuppositions about what you believe God will or won't do that are all wrong. You got to die to everything. Everything has to go on the altar for God to remake us over again in his image. We can't bring anything from the world over here, because all you'll bring with you is a good idea that you thought up. The mind can be made foreign to God. I'll show you in the message today how that happens. Dunamis Tabernacle. Get up. Look, physically get up. Go to the computer. Type in the search engine, www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate. And let's get this thing up and running. I've taken the time to microscopically examine what we're doing. You just got to watch it and see. Just watch and see. If we're crazy, well, just leave it alone. All we're asking for is one shot. Okay, give one big donation. Let's see what happens. If we're crazy, you'll know, hey, leave these clowns alone. They're insane. But if you begin to see us move out to do what we said we're going to do, you'll know it's on now. Now you got to decide what you really are. That's what most people are afraid of. What if they really do this? And I'm sitting on the Titanic and it's sinking, and all the lifeboats are sailing off into the sunset. Well, the logical thing would be to do what? Get on a lifeboat. Get on a lifeboat, man. Because the Titanic has hit the iceberg and the Titanic is going down. Dunamis Tabernacle, www.omegaministry.org. Support, then donate. Let's just go. Like Rashid always yells out, let's just go. Let's go. I know what you mean, man. We need to just go and get the job done. Who wants to keep hanging around down here? I don't. All right, let's get going for today. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls from a burning hell. God, lift us up out of this miry clay, out of this wicked and perverse generation. Sanctify us holy and make us over into the image of Christ. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Send the fruit to be born out in us. And then equip us with the gifts of the Spirit to have power over the devil. This is a warfare. Let's engage the devil and destroy him. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested in the flesh, to destroy the works of the devil. God destroyed the devil marvelously. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today we're talking about being shockproof. Building up a veneer inside of yourself where you're shockproof. Nothing shocks you. I mean, you hear different things all around you and you just, I'm shockproof. Whatever you tell me happen, it doesn't shock me. It doesn't throw my insides into some kind of a tizzy. It is what it is. I'm shockproof. You can't tell me anything that's going to make me just give up hope or feel depressed or despondent. I don't feel like just throwing in the towel. I'm shockproof. I'm about what I'm supposed to do. Jesus said I must be about my Father's business. He was shockproof. He did what he was supposed to do. He didn't look around. He took care of his business and did what he was told to do by God. I mean, they came to him with John the Baptist is dead. Lazarus is dead. Somebody had a towel fall on them and everybody's dead. All this stuff is blown up all around him. He stayed focused on the mission at hand, carried out the Father's will, did his job. Shockproof. If you can be knocked out of this, you will be knocked out of this. I'm telling you, if the devil can knock you out, he will knock you out. Because you will give up. Because the devil brings haymakers. The devil's coming with heavy artillery now. And if you can be made to give up, you will give up in this, because the devil's bringing everything he's got. Folks that you thought had plenty of sense are going crazy now. Folks that you thought would never do what they're doing, they're doing it now. Folks you thought been saved for years, turning back to the world now and becoming homosexuals and lesbians. Folks that you just figured would never do this to you are putting a dagger in your back now. Family members, friends, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, everybody that the devil can come through, he's picking them up now and using them. So you have to become shockproof. That doesn't shock me. You can't be looking at somebody thinking, I never thought you would. Hey, don't even finish that sentence, man. Don't finish that sentence, because you never know what a person will do. Looking at your husband talking about, I never thought you'd leave me for another woman. And there he is driving off with her in the car, headed out of town. I never thought Leroy would. Hey, man, cursed is the man that maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. You got to stay focused on the Lord, because the only person you can be sure of being saved is you. You got to be shockproof. Anybody can be taken out. If they just get off of the Lord and concentrate and focus on him, you can be gunned down by a gunslinger. Like I think it was Shambach preached years ago. The devil is a hitman. Now, it's R.D. Hinton preached that. The devil is a hitman, and you are on his hit list. That joker got a rifle in a tower with a scope on it, trained on your skull. He's a hitman, and you are on his hit list. So you got to be able to walk around in this full of the Holy Ghost for yourself. And you cannot allow yourself to downgrade what you know, who you know, and who you are in Christ, because it will shock you what's going to happen to us and around us in the coming days and weeks and months. Don't let it shock you. When you're looking at tanks on the street, martial law, racial unrest that the Bible predicts, ethnic groups against ethnic groups, Matthew 24. Why is it shocking you? It's in the Bible. Earthquakes in diverse places. Wars and rumors of wars everywhere. Birth pains flashing closer together because the day is at hand. And you're shocked and shook up and scared with your knees knocking together now. You took the most inopportune time to be afraid. It's in your Bible, Matthew 24. Jesus told us and prophesied what's about to happen. And we sit here with our mouths hanging open talking about, I can't believe this is happening. Well, you're an unbeliever. Because the man told you exactly how the deal is going down. You know, they're not using cash anymore. We're living in a cashless society. Well, the Bible told you in Revelation 13, there's going to be a mark of the beast. That you can't buy it, nor can you sell without it. So why are you shocked that there's now a cashless society? Can't you see Greece is in economic turmoil, about to go under? The world banks are scrambling around trying to figure out how to keep this thing propped up. This is all make-believe. This is fiat currency. It's Charmin toilet paper with green ink on it. Your money has no real value. They can tell you tomorrow, we're not using that. And immediately, every dime you got, you think you got, is worthless overnight. That's like you're taking a piece of paper, bond paper, and writing a five on it and telling people, this is a $5 bill here. I want to buy some shoes or whatever with it. They just told you it had value. Fiat currency has no gold standard backing it up. It's just printed up paper. It's all smoke and mirrors. None of this is real. And they'll teach you all these economic plans on how to move and shake and plan for your future, how to build your retirement fund, how to invest in stocks and mutual funds. And they got ministries built around finances. When it's all smoke and mirrors, none of it is real. What do? You tarry until Jesus comes. You occupy until he returns. You just come down here and you know it's all make-believe, but you got to have some food, so you use their junk to go buy it. That's what they said to use. Here, here's some money for this steak I'm buying. Thank you very much. But you put no what? No confidence in it, because you know it's just monopoly. It's monopoly money. It's a game. The boys who play Wall Street will tell you it's a game. They make movies about it, about Wall Street. What's his name? Gordon Gekko. The guy I know told you, hey, look, it's all just a game. And he had $100 million. You think of, man, he said, man, this is just a game. I just like the thrill of the game. That's what Donald Trump tells you. Donald Trump was bankrupt on Monday and buy a $50 million building on Friday. He uses OPP, other people's property. He's a master of the game. He knows it's a game. Tax laws, all that stuff was written for the rich folk. Every time you get a glitch in the tax law or a change in the tax law, it's about somebody rich trying to get another way not to lose money. It's a game. It's a game. You know, there are four states assigned to the world at large. The whole world is living under four estates. The first estate is God's sovereign rule over the universe. That's a state, and this is real. The second estate is the royalty in Great Britain. Call them blue bloods. You know, the royalty in Great Britain are supposed to be the offspring of the gods. Did you know that? Did you know that the Queen of England is the head of the church in Britain? Did you know that? You see, we're down here walking around in all this stuff and not even understanding it. Did you understand that through replacement theology, that Great Britain replaced Israel as the people of God? And because they sit there on the throne, they sit up under the chalice that Jesus drank from, called the Holy Grail. Did you know this gave them the authority to rule the world from the throne of Great Britain? Can't you see the United States is in rebellion against the throne in Britain? They see the United States as a rebel country that rebelled against the monarchy in Great Britain. Why do you think the whole world keeps honoring the queen and all these folks and watching who's born of their lineage, and they just, Prince so-and-so just had a baby? Why would you care? Why do they come to America and the people line the streets in New York waving at the prince and princess and the queen and all these folks? Why would you care about this garbage? They're the second estate. They're the offspring of the gods that rule from the throne of England. The Church of Britain is ruled over by the Queen of England. She's the head of the church. Look, we're living in an insane world. The third estate are the landowners and those that are wealthy. Jay-Z is a member of the third estate. Those that have the ability to control the masses because of wealth, the movers, they call them movers and shakers. They can make things happen because of their money. Bill Gates is a member of the third estate. Rupert Murdoch, a member of the third estate. So you got God, the British crown and the throne, first estate, second estate, third estate, state of the wealthy. And it drips down, kind of peels down slowly to the middle class. But you see, they're drying up the middle class. You say the fourth estate must be the lowly and the peons. No, the fourth estate is the news media. Because the news media are the propaganda arm of the other estates. The first, not God, but the second and third estate, they use the news media to do what? Control the thinking processes of what they call the useless feeders. That's me and you. Those of you who talk about Jesus and the word of God, and y'all are this useless, dumbed down feeders that are dependent upon us. See, we determine whether or not you have a job or not. We determine where you live and where you don't live, what you drive. And we make you believe through institutional brainwashing called universities and colleges that you have achieved something because we told you you did. And you walk out with your diploma and your degree, and your family's there crying. Your grandmother's just crying the river. I'm so proud of Harold. He finished Yale with a 3.9 average. Harold, breaking down. He's the first one of our family to get his degree, too. I'm so proud of you, boy. I could just... This is crazy. This is the brainwashing of this world. And we believe it. I bring it up. They don't like me. The people who are getting the degree don't like me. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you've been brainwashed. I don't like you exposing this because I feel so good about it. I thought it was a great achievement, and now you're making light of it and making fun of me. This offends me. You just go out here. I tell my son, you got a degree. Go to school. Get your degree. Make the money that you can make off of the junk. You know, find yourself somewhere to live, eat every day, drive a car around, and then be ready to get out of here when this mess dries up, because you got to get ready to live again after this in heaven at the expense of this. You use the garbage for what it's worth when you're here and be ready to forsake it all and forget it and data dump it and move on. But guess what? A lot of people put their hope in it. They trust in it. They believe in it. Don't you know the stuff coming through the news cycles are all designed to control how you think? They have a pseudo war conducted between Fox News and CNN. These are the same people just manipulating the news to make you believe in it. Hillary versus Donald Trump versus another Bush. You got another Bush running for the White House. Don't you know you've worn out your welcome, man? Another man, come on, man. Your daddy, your brother. Look, man, please. The Clintons, why don't y'all just go away? They just keep hanging around like, dog, is there any fresh blood anywhere? Recycled folks over and over again. This is crazy, but you know why? Because they've already selected, not elected, the people. The folks been selected all along the schematic, and you thought your vote counted. You really believe in voting. You think it's real. If the Bible tells you the whole world lies in the wicked one, don't you know the wicked one manages it? If the devil can take the Son of God away in a moment in time and show him all the kingdoms of this world, and tell Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you these kingdoms, because all of them have been betrayed into my hands. And Jesus never corrected him. He called him the prince of this world. The apostle calls him the God of this world. Don't you know the whole world lies in Satan's hands? Not the earth, the world. Nobody's going to rise to power in the world outside of the devil's okay and him signing off on them. Are you for real? He's got to trust you to do his bidding before he allows you to rise to preeminence. And when somebody tries to get out of it and tries to go against the grain, he tries to kill them or he kills them. Because now I gave you the authority to move up, and now you're trying to rebel against me and not carry the company line like I told you to, boy. We got to off you. This is real. The brainwashing in this nation and around the world is so absolute that now when you mention it, guess what? Nobody believes you. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're negative. You're crazy. While the people have been driven out of their senses, anybody that reveals it is now seen as an extremist and crazy. That's powerful brainwashing, man. What's the Bible say about it? They call good evil, and they call evil good. This is real. The Bible says we're in the world, not of it. You walk around in it, I'll fly down to the Caribbean and enjoy a nice sunset on a Caribbean island, drink a nice, cool, tropical drink, and care nothing about none of this garbage. Because I know it's not real. But folks are just ingrained in it. Like, I'm living for this. My 401k. I got investments. I got a 403b. I got a 457 put away. I got all this stuff lined up for my retirement and my future. There is no future. How do I know? Lincoln Cemetery right over there.